Thank you, men. Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23, we have really the beginning of the concluding remarks of Joshua. And we have here some instructions about possessing the land. And certainly we have some great instruction of what it will take to complete their possession of the land of Canaan. And of course, you know, this is the whole picture of the will of God for the people of Israel to possess the land of Canaan, to drive out the enemy, to drive out the inhabitants of the land who are under the curse of Canaan, and to fill the land with a God-fearing nation that is God's light to the world of truth and righteousness and love and peace and wisdom and blessing. This nation was to be the model to all the nations of the world, and they were to look to Israel. And we see a little bit of that in the kingdom in Solomon, as like the Queen of Sheba came to Israel and marveled at the wisdom of Solomon, saw the wonderful kingdom of Solomon. Well, that was God's plan for the nation of Israel. And we think of it, there's a parallel here. We think of the Lord Jesus and his concluding words as he went to heaven. And he had somewhat of a similar plan for us. And he had a plan for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the Christians were to possess the land. They were to go to and spread the gospel to all the world and set up the truth and churches in every place throughout the world. And so there is a parallel here. As we think of Christians possessing the land, following the instructions of the Lord Jesus in at the end of his life. But here we find Joshua giving these concluding remarks to the people of Israel near his death. And we'll read some of this, Joshua chapter 23. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in years, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Remember, as they went into the land, we do not find here of one casualty. There was not one Israelite who died in battle, except in the battle of Ai, while and because of the curse of Achan, as there was sin in the camp. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain, to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their lands as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. And so we find this picture of them possessing the land, filling the land, expelling the cursed culture and religion and darkness and moral depravity of the Canaanite culture, and the people of God fulfilling the land with truth and with righteousness and the Bible and the blessing of God. And the Bible says, be therefore very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside thereto to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you the great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. Else, if you do in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they unto you. Know for a certain that the Lord your God will no more drive any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know that in your hearts and in all your souls, that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he hath destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you. When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. If we look at this passage of Scripture, we see a number of great instructions or elements of the people of victory and truths that would bring victory in the land and success to the people of Israel in possessing the land. We want to take a few minutes of looking at that. First of all, as we look at it, notice that he, first of all, calls them to consider the past. Consider the past. He says, you have seen, verse 3, all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Now, what has God done for them in the past? He has given them victory. He has worked on their behalf. No one has died. All the enemies have been utterly defeated. God has done it all. God opened up the Red Sea. God caused the Jordan River to be parted and for them to pass over on dry land. He caused the walls of Jordan to fall. God did it all. Consider what God has done in the past. And you know, that is an important issue in life. Consider what God has done. Now, if you're truly saved, you know, salvation, great miracle. What a great miracle. Think of salvation. Think of what God did in your life to bring you to Jesus Christ. Think of the greatness of having your sins forgiven. Think of the greatness of becoming a new creature. Think of the greatness of having the Holy Spirit come live within your life. Think of the great work of God that he did in your life in the past. And then in your Christian life, you need to think about the great things that God has done in your life. You know, when you're a member of a New Testament church, you can constantly be thinking of all the great things God has done in the past. Because God works in and through the New Testament church. And the greatest part of your life will ever be how you have served the Lord in winning souls in the New Testament church. I guarantee it. Just think about it. Most of the testimonies tonight were people testifying of what God was doing, what they were seeing God do as they were reaching souls for Jesus Christ, the local church. You know what? Those are the greatest things of life. Nothing matches up to that. You know, when you get to heaven, that's what you're going to remember. You're not going to remember what color shoes you had. You know, not going to remember what kind of tires you had on your car. You know, not going to remember those things. You know what you're going to remember? You're going to remember and rejoice and revel in the things that God did as you were serving Him in a New Testament church, reaching souls for Christ. And that's what He said. Remember what God did. And you know, that's important foundation of going ahead for the Lord. It's an important foundation of going ahead for the Lord, considering what God has done for you. Now, think about it. If a person's not really saved, boy, they're kind of dead in the water, because they can't think of any miracles that God has done in their life. They can't think of any miracles. You know what? But you know, when God starts working in your life, it's wonderful. I still remember that day, the spot at Waukesha County Fair, that God spoke to my heart and said, Ron, you are a sinner. You know, you never forget those things. That great God is still alive. Amen? Oh, isn't that great? That God of heaven is still alive. He said, remember, consider what He has done in the past, and He has not died, and He can do it yet in the future. Amen? And you know what? That's why we need to model our lives off the New Testament. Okay? Model our lives after the New Testament. And pray and seek to have a church like the New Testament church. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Wow. Don't you hunger for that? Huh? That's what it's all about. You know, the simplicity of the New Testament church. You know, people hearing the Bible, God's people praying, God's people witnessing, the Holy Spirit bringing people under conviction, people getting saved, people lives getting changed, and going forward for God. Wow, that's just, you know, that's not too complex, but it's wonderful, isn't it? So remember what God has done in the past. We have the Bible record. Hopefully, there's reality of what God, the miracles God has done in your life. And Joshua is saying to all the people, you know, these great miracles, parting of the Jordan, crossing the Red Sea. I mean, that's a great God. And He didn't die. Amen? He didn't die. Still a living God. So consider what he has done in the past. Okay? But notice, also, the promise. And the Lord your God, verse 5, He shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land. What a promise. This is a, consider the promise that you have. Now think about the promise that we have. You know what the promise we have? We have this promise. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You know, that's a great promise. But you know what? That promise is great to a certain kind of people. And it's not very great to some others. It's a great promise. But there's only some people that experience it. And you know who they are? The ones who are involved in the Great Commission. That promise was given to them. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. What a great promise. And you know, take God at his word. And take the gospel out. Yeah, to the ends of the world. Because we still have a miracle working God. You want to get into the middle of the great things of God, claim his promises and go out with the gospel. Now notice, he tells us about the courage that's needed. Verse 6. Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside thereof to the right hand or to the left. Now notice the courage that is needed. Consider what he's done in the past and his promises, but look at the courage that is needed. Now I'm not sure I just wonder if I have very much courage. I don't know. If I would have known what it would take to serve the Lord, I don't know. But praise the Lord, God only lets us know what we need to know. But you know, it takes courage to serve the Lord. Now, I thought about courage. What would we say courage is? Courage is decisive, brave faith. That's what courage is. Decisive, brave faith. Courage. You know what? Courage is deciding to do it because God said it. That's what courage is. Courage is deciding to do it because God said it. You know, people who don't get anything done are people who sit around and think about all the reasons they aren't going to make a decision. Or all the obstacles to some kind of decision. Or all the troubles that are going to be ahead. No. Courage is that decisive, brave, trusting decision for God. That's what it takes. Okay. God said it. I'm going to do it. You know, that's the difference between witnessing and not witnessing. You just decide to do it. You know how you decide to do it? You just do it. You know, now, give you an illustration. At the university, the kids are walking by, and you can offer them a tract or an invitation. Well, you know, once in a while they might take it. But you know what? I find out there's a better way of doing it. And you know what the better way of doing it is? You just walk right up in front of them and say, hey, have you heard about Set Free? You know, don't give them a chance to walk away. Just walk right in front of them. Oh, you say, Pastor, I thought you were a timid person. Exactly. But God says, be courageous. Be decisive. To do that which is right. That's what it takes. And you know, I don't know many decision, important decision, that doesn't take just plain old courage. Decisive, brave faith. And that's what he said. Be strong. He's told Joshua early on, said be strong and very courageous. And now he's telling the people, be therefore very courageous. Don't go thinking at home, man, look at this guy. Man, look at that group of people. Man, they are really violent. They are really wicked. Boy, they're going to be a tough sell. you know, we'll never defeat them. It sounds to me like you are convincing yourself not to do right. Convincing yourself not to do right. God said, be courageous. You know what it means? Do it, because God said it. That's courage. Do it because God said it. And you know what? We need a whole new generation of people that say, I'm going to do it because God said it. Amen? That's what we need. A whole new generation of courage. Not namby-pamby Christianity. Courage. And so, that's what he said. That's what he said. And he says, okay, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. You know, I guess find this in the Bible. Just, it seems like everywhere we have the same message. It says, you keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. You know, I can't emphasize the fact that, you know, the new-fangled, namby-pamby, emotional Hollywood style of Christianity is saying, oh, that's just plain legalism. Oh, really? Oh, really? Why don't you tell that to God? He's the one that said, keep and do it all. And you know what? Instead of moping around and trying to figure out an excuse why you shouldn't do it, the Bible says, get some courage and do it. Amen? Get God's strength and do it. And so, he said, go and keep and do all that is written in the book of the law, that you turn not aside there to the right hand or to the left. I was thinking about this. You know, exact obedience. Not to the right hand, not to the left hand. You know, I thought, well, let's illustrate that. In the Bible, Acts 2:41, we were there today, tonight. They that gladly received his word were baptized, and there added unto them 3,000 souls. Now, that's pretty simple. They were saved, and they were baptized, and they were added unto them. That's pretty simple. God's plan. The people that got saved got baptized, and the people that got baptized joined the church. Well, that's the Bible plan. Well, there's all sorts of Baptists out there. I guess they're not real Baptists, but you know, a Bible church, they change it. They say, get saved. If you want, get baptized. And if you want, join the church. That's what they say. There's some sort of Baptists, and they say, get saved, get baptized, and if you want to, join the church at some time. You know what? That's not obeying the Bible explicitly. The Bible says they were saved, they're baptized, and they're added to the church. That's it. Why change it? Why change it? Don't go to the right hand. Don't go to the left hand. You know? And then we got this other thing. You know? You got the Presbyterians and the Congregationalists and the Lutherans. And what do they have? They got baptism of infants before you're saved. You know what? That's not courage. That's not being courageous. That's not keeping God's law. It says, exact obedience. We've lost that sense of exact obedience. We do it because God said it. I like some young man said to me this morning. Yeah, I said, what'd you get out of the message today? He says, well, God spoke to me about the fact that if the Bible says it, I should obey it whether I understand it or not. And then when I obey it, then I'll understand it. I said, that's right. That's the Bible. Okay? Now, notice what he said. Now he's getting pretty specific about something that's really important. Verse 7, that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. Now, the specific thing he's talking about is separation. The Bible command of separation. Don't come unto them. Don't mix with them. Don't mix with them. Don't make mention of their gods. Don't even consider talking about their gods. Don't swear by their gods. Don't give any credence to the reality, which is false, of their gods. Don't bow down before them. Notice the progression. Don't come in among them. Don't mix among them. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You know what we forgot that? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That's what the Bible says. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passes away and the lust thereof. Separation. Love not the world. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What part hath the temple of God with idols? None. None. Separation. That's what the Bible teaches. Separation. We were talking about in our Bible class the lost doctrine of separation. And if there's anything that will destroy the one of the things that will destroy the fervency and the effectiveness and the power of New Testament Christianity would be violating the law of separation. That's it. You know what? All you have to do is watch a young person. And I love young people. I love being around them. I love being able to teach Bible class. I love it. Do you know? All you got to do is look in their eyes. And all you got to do is look in their eyes. And if there's deadness there, it's because of sin. When the brightness, the fervor, the life, the sparkle, it's gone. It's not gone by accident. It's gone because of the violation of the law of separation. Whether it's watching the wrong thing on TV, making the wrong click on the internet, whatever it is, being around the wrong crowd and enjoying it, That's all it takes. And God says, this is very important. Don't turn from it, don't turn from it a smidgen. Because if you do, you'll not succeed. And Bible Christianity has lost its power. It's lost its power. And you know what? You go to a church that's lost its power. All you got to do is look at the young ladies. Yep. Lost the power. As close to the world as they can get. Lost the power. You know why? Not by accident, because they violated the law of separation and they lost their heart. Pretty clear. But then it has an opposite. It says, but, verse 8, cleave unto the Lord your God. But cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. Now, you know what? That cleaving is pretty easy to understand. You know? Cleaving. You know, the Bible says a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. Amen. You know what? You know, if a man just looks at another woman, his wife ought to take a frying pan and hit him on the head. Nonetheless, talk about another woman. They got to, you know, give them three or four. Cleave to his wife. There's no other woman. No, this is the only one. Amen. And you love her with all your heart. That's it. There's no room for anybody else. No room for anybody else, period. That's what it's saying when you cleave unto the Lord. There's no room for the world. There's no room. For the ungodliness of this world. None. That's the principle of God's word. It's a very important principle. Cleave. That's the positive. You know what? If you're cleaving to the Lord, there's no room for the other. Amen? There's no room for the other. And you know, cleaving is a matter of decision. It's a matter of the heart. It's the matter of complete complete dedication. It speaks of us just wonderful, inseparable relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. An inseparable love and relationship with Jesus Christ. Cleave. And that's what he says. That's what it's going to take. You know, isn't that amazing? What's it saying? You know what? You're going to go forward and you're going to possess the land. This is what it's going to take. That's it. No compromise, no in between. Now you think, boy, now that's radical. Exactly. That's what it takes to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Amen? You know what? Anything less, a person can be satisfied with letting the world go to hell. Now notice, it says, notice the promise that comes with that obedience, that separation, that cleaving. For the Lord hath driven out from before you, verse 9, great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand. For the Lord your God, it is he that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. I like that. Boy, we ought to give that to Washington, D.C. Amen? One man shall chase a thousand. You know what that means? That means in military strategy, okay, Israel, if you cleave to the Lord, if you separate from evil and you live a godly life and you obey the word of God, guess what? Doesn't matter if it's 1,000 to 1. You're going to win. What do you think about that, Major? Or are you above that now? Okay, Major Golshinsky. That's pretty good military strategy, isn't it? God on your side. God on your side. That's what we need. We need God on our side. We don't need anything else. That's what we need, is God on our side. Young person, you don't need anything else. All you need is God on your side. It doesn't matter how difficult the situation. It doesn't matter how impossible the task. It doesn't matter. All you need is God on your side. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to preach the message, says, you and God make a majority. And so we have this great promise. But he says, verse 11, take good heed therefore to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Take good heed. You know, that good heeding is something you need to do every day. And sometimes, many times, I wonder, here's the question. Do you take good heed? Do you take good heed to make sure you love the Lord every day? Well, one of the ingredients is make sure that you're in God's Word every day. Amen. And one ingredient is make sure you take time to read God's Word and meet God every day. It's important that every day we do a spiritual checkup. A spiritual checkup. It's important. We have these great truths here. But then, we have this warning. We have this warning. And it's summarized in the last half of the chapter, but notice verse 15. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until you have been destroyed from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given you. Now notice the concrete character of God. Just as God is supernaturally in charge when you obey, God is supernaturally in charge when we disobey. Modern Christianity doesn't like that part, do they? They don't want a God who's supernaturally in charge only if it's an answer to their prayer. But they don't want a God that's supernaturally in charge that chastens his children in disobedience. Let's just pretend it doesn't exist. Let's just call it hellfire and brimstone preaching that's outdated. You know? Let's just pretend it doesn't exist. You know, that's what's happened today. People don't believe it. It doesn't exist. Well, it does exist because it's the same God who promises to bless as the same God who promises to judge. Isn't that true? Now, we know that this is true with the people of Israel. They did not obey the Lord. They did not obey the Lord. And rather than all the enemies being easily driven out of the land, they were left in the land. And they were a curse and a thorn in their sides for years and years and years. Because they didn't have the courage to obey God. Now, let's be honest. There's a lot of casualties. People want to pretend it doesn't happen. But let me tell you, there are lots of casualties. Some of us have been around a long time. A lot of casualties. Big lists of casualties. Families, young people, men, women. Casualties. Oh, people say, doesn't exist. It's, life is full of casualties. And I'm not talking about unsaved people. I'm talking about saved people. Life is full of casualties. You know, you think about it, as you look at the Bible, the nation of Israel was full of casualties. You know, as you look at the Bible, try to find successful families. Try to find them. You have to do some searching, don't you? Because you know what? The God who promises His unlimited blessing is also the God who says, if we do not cleave to the Lord, if we do not practice separation, if we start letting down our guard, it says right here in the Bible, what does it say? It says, ye shall perish quickly from off the good land. Wow. Quickly. And you know what? That's true. That's true. I see it happening. You know, this is how people grow. People typically grow a little bit, a little bit, a little bit at a time. Over years, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. But you know what? When people go backwards, they go quickly down a long ways. Isn't that right, Brother Ains? Exactly. That's life. But you know, think of what God has. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the plan. That's obedience. That's where God is working. That's when people become more aware of the need for the power of God. That's when people become more aware of the things that take away their heart. That's when people become more possessed with cleaving to the Lord. Well, these are the last words of Joshua. They gave him the whole plan of success. The book of Judges, we'll see that... the fact is, people of Israel didn't quite to follow his recommendations, did they? But we have the same principles apply to us. Now the Bible gives us an accurate picture of life. We have the possibilities, we have the promises, a blessing of success, but we have the warnings. And every one of us have to do something about it. And as we said, it takes courage. Just takes plain old-fashioned courage. Brave, decisive faith. Brave, decisive faith. Are you paralyzed because of sin? You can't make any big decisions for God because you're paralyzed because of sin. You say, maybe right in your soul tonight, you say, well, I can't make any big decisions for God. That's a problem. Do you know that? That is a problem. You're paralyzed by sin of some sort. To go forward, we have to be able to make big decisions for God at a moment's time. Every one of you young men that are going to serve the Lord, you can point to the fact that you are where you are right now because you made big decisions for God at the time, at the moment of the call of God. Amen? That's what it takes in life. Brave decisions of faith. What's God trying to do in your life tonight? What is it? What about the Great Commission? Are you going to hem and haw about it? Or are you going to say, hey, you know what? This is it. I got to get on the road of start being a witness for Jesus Christ. You know what? It won't happen by just thinking about it. It's only going to happen by a brave, decisive step of faith. Forcing yourself to do what's right before the Lord. It's great truth among these other great truths tonight. God is speaking to your heart. Be courageous for God. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for simple, repeated words in the Scripture that we need. Because in ourselves, Lord, we're weak. In ourselves, we're fearful. In ourselves, Lord, we are so often people of unbelief. And Lord, Joshua called the people to believe in a great God and to trust their lives to Him and serve Him. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us even tonight. As we think about this great need in our lives to serve a great God. And so, Lord, help your people. I'm sure there's young men. I'm sure there's young ladies. I'm sure there's men. There are ladies. There are children that you're speaking to. About making big decisions. Whether it's getting things of the world out of their life and just deciding to do it, whether it means to be a witness, whether it means to get saved, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you would work in our midst even now. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, Pastor, God is working in my life, and I do need to make a bold, brave decision of faith for God, of obedience, of following Him, surrendering my life, whatever it is. And say, Pastor, pray for me. God spoke to my heart today. I know that there's important decisions, brave, decisive decisions of faith I need to make forward, make to obey God's word in my life. Pray for me. Okay? Amen. All right, good. All right, amen. Anyone else? Amen. Anyone else? God, speak to me. I don't need to delay. I need to have brave, decisive decisions of faith. Anyone else? God is speaking to your heart, okay? Amen. All right, amen. All right, praise God for young people. Get it too. Lord, I thank you for your call to respond to you. Thank you that you put it all together and bring it in a neat package of decision. Now, Lord, you've seen many hands. Some of these decisions may be very big. And I thank you that in your grace and mercy, we can make big decisions and get it settled and go forward in a big step. But we need your grace. We need your victory. We need your power. We need your protection, because the devil, anytime someone makes a big decision, the devil is there to mock them. So I pray that you'd work in each heart, and whatever that decision is, that, Lord, they're yielding to thee and they're letting you have your way in their life. So bless, I pray, in a great way, in Jesus' name.